I want to pray for us, but I also want, if you would, pray alongside that as we go to the Lord in prayer. Would you do that with me? Dear Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel in a new way to us, Lord, that you've been way out in front of us with RW360. Lord, you have a heart for broken people, and Lord, we are conduits of your grace to those broken people, and we find them in all cultures. So, Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and our minds today, that your Holy Spirit be guiding our words and our thoughts, and Lord, that you take this where you want it to go today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm Jim Valentine. I like to joke, I'm second generation law enforcement. My dad was an Indiana State Trooper, and a lot of my inspiration, much to his chagrin, for going into law enforcement. And I'll be 52 in November, so I like to joke, 52 years law enforcement experience growing up in that environment. My first law enforcement job, I was an immigration officer in Miami, Florida back in the early 90s, and specialized in interview and interrogation. And probably 1,000 or plus interrogations in 2.5 years, thousands of interviews in that period of time, worked a lot of overtime. Became an Indiana State Trooper in 95, was hurt in the line of duty in 96, left the state police in 2009. So I was actually a trooper during the 9/11 period, which was really weird for us in law enforcement. And got to be in law enforcement chaplaincy in Indiana until I left for Sacramento. I've been in Sacramento, California now for 4 months. Love the climate. My boy describes the area as, this is the Garden of Eden, except there's people here. So I would have to agree. So Dave and I have been great friends for several years now. We pastored in the same town, small town in Indiana, and we just, as we spent time, we learned the things that we were both passionate about, the burdens on each other's hearts. And so let me tell you a little story real quick. I'm going to diverge about a friend of mine that I met in the late 90s. And this friend of mine was an amazing trooper. Actually still is. He's getting ready to retire. Great trooper. Very good investigative mind. If you watched him with people, you'd think, how is this guy? He's amazing. He's just great with people. Became a detective in his career. And that's what he's going to retire out as. Was great at facilitating confession. And I say that because a lot of times we think about confession and we watch TV and we see this, but there's a lot of release and a lot of de-escalation that comes with a person during a confession. So this guy had all those skills. I walked with him through an extremely painful divorce. And in the middle of that divorce, I baptized his son. And that day in the church, he and his wife are fighting about some inappropriate pictures that were sent back and forth between her new friend and he had proverbial blood on his hands in this relationship and all those kind of things. Now remember, this is a guy that's got all the people skills in the world. Okay, and so that son that I baptized in 2020, April the 1st, 2020, I buried him, and he had killed himself. And he had experienced a lot of the same, generational things that his dad did in the home, and didn't know how to really act at home. And so fast forward as Dave and I are beginning to spend time together, and he's saying, you really got to get into this RW360 thing, which I'm not certified yet, but I've been through the course online, and I go back and I do it some more, and I think, my answers aren't good enough yet. I got to keep working on this. But as he's telling me about RW360, and we're spending time together, last May, we had a flashpoint in this country with the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin situation. A lot of people watched that video, And they saw a lot of different things. Everybody saw a little something different. But when I saw Derek Chauvin and his face, I didn't see a blank face. That face told me all kinds of things. Because I had grown up around policemen. I knew what policemen looked like. I knew what policemen in great bits of distress looked like. And it looked different than the general population. And then we had the Breonna Taylor situation in Louisville, Kentucky, that, I mean, we had state troopers stationed on the bridge to keep people from coming across the bridge. It had just gotten so bad. And everything from what was happening in Portland, all kinds of things were coming apart. And I told Dave, I said, man, we got to figure this out for law enforcement. Because departments are going to be clamoring to retain people and also to be able to help these guys with their daily job so that they don't become so jaded and it doesn't become so us against them. Because, I mean, even now, it still feels very much like a flashpoint kind of a thing. Like one more drop of gas on this thing and it's going to blow wide open. What's interesting is it's already starting to do that. We're seeing an exodus from the profession. We're seeing attitudes in society that are really, it's a mess all the way over. If I could think of a word that I would use, I would say fracture. And so our whole, as we turn to this material, and we got Ken's blessing to begin modifying some of the material, what I realized was Dave's the expert. I like to say it this way. Dave is Lewis and Clark, and I'm Sacagawea. So he's been working with me, and the material is so solid, and so much of it is things that I had learned in law enforcement, and especially in an interview and interrogation venue. But beyond that, now all of a sudden, turning that into a system of, I guess, thought and ways of reacting that are actually healthy and wholesome and life-giving, mm-hmm. even in the context of law enforcement. One of the things that I joked about, and Dave, I'm probably making him really nervous because I'm going a little off script. And, but
that's fine.
Not nervous, man.
Yeah. One of the things, one of us has to be. One of the things that's really interesting. When I was a trooper, we had to do the first aid training. If I wanted to be an EMT, I would have been an EMT. The last thing I wanted to do was fight fires or work on people. And so we would go through this training, and everybody from rookie till oldest veteran, they're all sitting there, and it's almost like we're going to watch paint dry together. And then the best instructors would come in and say, we're going to teach you a technique that, yes, you're going to be tested on. Yes, this matters because if you do it wrong, you're going to lose your house, you know, all those kind of things. But we want to tell you something. This we believe in, and we don't really care if you ever use it on the street, but this might save your family. And when they would say that, it didn't matter whether you were putting on a Band-Aid or whether you were learning a tourniquet. When they said, this is for your family, you would scoot forward in your chair. And so that, for me, is what our goal is here with RW Blue, with law enforcement. So what we're going to try to do today is cast a vision for you guys to see that this is something you absolutely can do back in your home areas. And, you know, cast a vision, we got to give you some things to look at. So we're going to skip some rocks through some of this stuff.
But, I'll share the mic.
Yeah. I'm going to turn the mic back over to Dave. He can tell you some really raw statistics that are kind of driving some of the anecdotal things that I can tell you.
Great. Perfect. We're freestyling here today. So just a couple of quick statistics. This is even before all the current events. In 2018, twice as many police officers died by suicide than in the line of duty. Think about that. That was before all this. So suicide, I've got some statistics here I won't read, but they're at an all-time high. Since May of 2020, every major city has seen a 20%, and this is an old statistic, even more, exodus from law enforcement. They're all, we're done. We're seeing violent crime has increased with the exodus of law enforcement officers. Confidence, it is at an all-time low. And so there's, if I had to summarize it, I would say this. Law enforcement is under siege right now in our country. And thus, the Lord just really put a burden on Jim and I. He said, you know, we're doing RW for the military. Ken's been in Washington, D.C. He's been in front of Army admirals. He's been on bases. We're reaching teachers. We're reaching first responders. But nobody was doing anything to reach out for law enforcement. And so God really put this on our heart. And we've done a couple focus groups with various officers, whether it be Indiana State Police, whether it be local small town police. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback as we've put this together. But you know, before we even start, you know, one of the number one things that they said about relational wisdom is, yeah, this is really going to equip the officers out in the field and it will help them. But what we really see the benefit of RW360 is when that officer takes the badge off and goes home.
Amen.
Because their homes, we're going to talk about that, feel the ramification of all this stuff, their marriages, and we're seeing it in divorce, and we're seeing it in suicide. Now, for those of you who haven't been through RW360 3.0 online, this is basically Ken's template here, but what we've done is we've gone through it, not changed any of the basic RW360, but we've geared it toward police. So it's sort of like I was just up in northeastern Indiana, and me and my older brother, I mean, he's like 66, I'm 64, but we weren't catching trout. So you know what we did? We did what we did when we were 8 and 12 years old. We picked up stones and we were skimming them on the water and just had a ball. Well, that's all I'm going to do today as far as showing you RW360. But I want to show you some of the visuals and how this has been very, very well received by the officer focus groups that we've talked to. In fact, one of the ones Jim and I did together, we no more than got through for you certified people like the second or third lesson, and they were just stopping us and they said, how much is this going to cost? And when can you come up and give this in Indianapolis? Or when can you give this over here? And so we've really struck a chord. Or God has struck a chord, so we're really excited about it. Lastly, if you see on your outline, for you certified instructors, you know, when I get in front of law enforcement officers, I mean, I tell them right away, I just want to clear myself. I said, okay, listen, I don't know anything about law enforcement. I said, but I do understand about human emotion. And I do understand about emotional intelligence, and I can understand that you and I can change. And I said, but I brought this guy here because he's going to translate what we're learning here into law enforcement language that you can understand. So what I'm saying to you, certified instructors, if you find a believer that's been through at least just the online course, there's no reason that you cannot do this in your own context, okay? So, good. Well, we're going to take a look at a couple things here. So we got the RW, and so as we start going through this... Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, so if we decide to do that, are you willing to give up your PowerPoint?
Absolutely. In fact, I was just talking to Terry about that. He knows a Christian police officer retired in his area. And so it's already been approved. So you can just get the whole template here and do it yourself.
Sweet.
Right? And so normally I talk through all this when we do the RW presentation. I'm going to have Jim give his definition of relational wisdom to a police officer. You're going to have to wing this. Relational wisdom is the ability to discern the emotions, interests, and abilities in yourself and others, and to interpret this information in the light of your personal values, and to use these insights to manage your responses and relationships constructively. And then when we were doing this, we didn't have it planned. Jim just said, okay, to the officers in the officer language, you started with street smarts, you know the guys. That will prompt you. Go ahead.
So if you guys were a group of police officers, what I would say is that looks like a lot of stuff there. But really what you're looking at is, you know, the guys who, they sell every ticket they write. They don't have to go to court. They make solid cases. They have good relationships with prosecutors, judges. They have good relationships with community organizations. And these are the guys that have street smart, street cred. They're not having to get in fights and doing use of force forms because they know how to handle people. That would be my relational wisdom, law enforcement definition.
And so I'm giving this to a bunch of police officers and they're like, and then I turn it over to Jim and he gives that, they're all,
yeah,
right, they get it. So, okay. So we've done a lot of changes for you, our certified RW people, on the graphics here, but we tell them life's all about relationships. How do you think this picture would affect a police officer?
Deeply.
Yeah.
That's a good picture.
It is a good picture.
A great picture.
Yeah. Okay. We show the different films. In fact, we went through, for those of you who haven't, there's 3 minute, 2-3 minute films throughout the clips, throughout the whole deal. And we asked them, we showed them this one, and they said, should we drop it? And they go, no, don't do that. This is good, but we're not going to show it right now. So sorry about that. I'm going to show one in a little while that you probably haven't.
I just mentioned who it is, which video it is.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the
Olivet Eagles.
Olivet Eagles, right. And
remember Stacy, my friend, his reaction to that, the Olivet Eagles in the focus group, you know, we're hitting with information, they know they're kind of a test group and all this, and then he's over there, he's like, I mean, Stacy's a mountain of a man. And so this really affected him. It was like, okay, this has got to stay.
Yeah, it's amazing to see grown officers 30 years on the force crying and it hitting home. So, you know, we talk about stronger relationships, why RW, why work at this, stronger relationships, valued influence, inspiring examples. And we need this today more than ever, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, we talk about hard skills versus soft skills, and I give the mic a lot to Jim to translate this. But again, we're skipping a stone through the RW 3.0 today, because we do want a time for Q&A here in a little while. And we're gonna watch a film, and you're gonna break into groups here in just a second. Soft skills increase social capital. Jim's already alluded to that kind of officer that isn't in court all the time. Sorry, Frank, where are you at? Yep, they're not in court all the time. Okay, we go into chapter 2. And usually by the time we get here, and I even asked about the nail video. How many have seen the nail video here? Right? The focus group said keep it in there.
Yeah.
Keep it in there. We talk about harnessing emotions. Can you talk just briefly about a typical officer emotions and learning how to harness that?
He's putting me on the spot. We didn't rehearse that part. Well, you know, law enforcement, you see the sound bites maybe on TV. That's a place no law enforcement officer wants to be, is on television, unless he's doing something good. Even then, he doesn't really want that. But what we find is you're running call to call to call, and every one of them is different. So you might work a crash, you might find a missing kid, you might work a domestic, you might have a barricaded subject. All of that may happen in the course of an 8.5 hour shift. And in the meantime, you have a command structure that's telling you you need to make sure you get, there's no such thing as quotas, okay, people. But you didn't meet your goals last month, those kind of things. And so being able to manage the emotions like the gentleman was talking about earlier is crucial. Now, what's the difference between managing and burying emotion? And so buried emotions do not drive noble behavior, but managed emotions do. There is, for the rookie, this hope. Right? A rookie gets into law enforcement, what's like the worst interview answer a rookie can give? Why do you want to be a police officer? And they always tell you, don't give this answer, but it's true. I want to
help
people. You ask what used to be, you ask a 30-year veteran, why do you want to be a police officer? And he's like, you know what? I just want to get to my pension. Okay. So that's one of the things with emotions driving noble behavior. We want to see guys healthy throughout their career so that at 30 years they're finishing just as strongly as what they started with it. So, and we see folks who do things that we would think are superhuman. That's not just isolated to law enforcement. If I was talking to a group of officers, though, every one of them would have a story about a friend. They wouldn't tell the story about themselves, about something superhuman that, well, you know, so-and-so, he's kind of a little squirt in defensive tactics. He's not very big at all, but, you know, I saw the lion come out of him. And there was this little kid that the dad had really worked him over, and this guy took that dad, and he put him in cuffs, and there was no question what was going to happen there. And everybody knows that this guy was not a big guy, and he just took on a guy, David and Goliath kind of thing. And so we see the noble behavior. This guy can't swim worth a lick, but he jumped in the lake to save this kid. Or he pulled a person out of a burning car. You know, all of those kind of things that we see. So absolutely, it's not the mechanical things that are driving that kind of behavior. You actually have a hard time training those kind of skills. Yeah, you learn about fire extinguishers and first aid and all that. But it's the emotion that drives the noble behavior.
Pretty good for winging it. You know, one thing I was surprised about is Ken has put all this together, and I thought I would be really replacing like a lot of the clips. And we asked the officers in the different focus groups, what do you see in this picture? And it was like, so real quickly, what do you see going on in this picture?
An officer coming home, and he and his wife are engaged in a deep separating event.
Yes, thank you, Claude. What else? What's going on here?
Neither of them can understand the difficulties that they're going through in the day.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Frank.
There's a desire to reconcile, but they're not sure they can do it.
Very good, Steve. Very good.
I see a lot of trauma, but an effort to hold on.
Yes. Yeah. So we didn't take this clip out. We're keeping it in for our W Blue. I wanted to throw a picture of me, and this is why I don't put Christian bumper stickers on my car.
This guy. True. Yeah.
Put a red light on the kid, it'll be Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why I don't put Christian bumper stickers on my vehicles. So anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. So we go through the normal RW Live presentation. And we very interesting when we get into amygdala hijacking and what takes place in the brain that Ken goes through, you can tell it's connecting with these officers. So we talk about that. Okay. We're going to watch this one. Before I have Jim talk here real quick, I want to hear from you. What's going on there? This is a small group. We're not going to break into small groups of two or three.
He's stressed out to the max. He's, yeah.
Good. David.
Triggered.
Yes.
He's making his son feel like that he feels from his job.
Yeah. Yes. Good. Very good. Pardon me?
Condemnation.
Yes. Yeah. And when I first showed this to Jim, it was a very emotional time for us, and he talked about what he did before he went home. So go ahead, Jim.
So why do you think we got good feedback to leave that one in there?
Real.
Yeah.
Very real.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a trooper, you would experience all those things that I told you about a while ago. I mean, if I could take you on a typical day, there's no such thing. And we were back up as troopers. We were back up to local departments. We took a lot of cases on our own. The very first case I ever worked, an 18-year-old burned her 3-year-old up in a trailer fire. And that was the first case. That was before I'd written any tickets. That's right out of the academy. And so when I was watching this and then being second generation, I'm looking at that clip and I'm like, that's me with my dad when he would come home. But the other thing was, we have this thing when you're learning dynamic entries for search warrants, and you know, I was never on the really cool like SWAT guys, but we all had the same training to do certain things. And dynamic entry training, does anybody know, this is a bonus question, what do you call a doorway? It has a nickname.
Is it a choke point or a...
It's called the fatal funnel. Very close, yeah. So the fatal funnel. Because if you're coming in a doorway, you can't pause there because every bit of attention here is focused on that doorway. So that used to be the only real fatal funnel that policemen experienced. But as I watched this clip, and then even as Dave and I were talking earlier, what I realized was how many times I came home from work and I would drive around the block, or I would sit in the driveway and I would feign doing paperwork, but I would just letting everything kind of get sorted. That's the best word I can use. And then I would walk into that doorway.
I think that's going to get emotional.
I would walk into that doorway, still in uniform, and maybe my wife would hit me immediately with, hey, you know, so-and-so did this at school, la 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 la. Dishwasher's broken, you forgot to pay the electric bill, you know, we're a little bit late, la 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 la. Maybe that would happen, maybe it wouldn't. But what I realized in talking through this is I would walk through that doorway, and I knew how to handle everything that was behind me. And I didn't jack about handling what was in front of me. Because you don't train for that. Or at least you did before we come up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the new fatal funnel. Mm-hmm. So that clip, that's not going anywhere. That is huge. Because so many guys, of course, we dealt with a lot of guys who were second generation, third generation law enforcement. And they had lived that, but felt somewhat powerless. We all tried to do better than what we had, but powerless to really change the paradigm, the critical nature, the... okay, you want me to fix this? I'll fix it. I can fix it really quick. I've got the power and the authority to fix this. Wouldn't it be amazing if I had the relational wisdom to give it a long-term solution?
Did you ever, I've 34 years in the military, so you ever try to change up like what door you came in or take your uniform off before you came home?
There were a lot of things, you know, we finally had a house that had a garage.
Yeah.
So I would pull in the garage and wait a minute. And then there was something about that, the garage door closing behind me that gave me some closure. One thing that I'm not sure in hindsight was healthy, and I might ever never know, but we bought property before I was retired out. And when I built my house, I built it a quarter mile off the road, and you couldn't see my house from the road. And so when I would come home, I could start down that driveway, and then the longer I drove, the more, okay, I'm in my safe spot, you know. And but still, some of that still didn't go away. You'd walk in the door and realize that you had all the skills in the world to deal with what was on the outside. You know, I grew up in the church. I should know how to be a good husband. I should know how to be a good dad. I should know all these things. But in the moment, it's a little tough to recall sometimes when you've just dealt with some of the things you've dealt with. So
you can see why, number one, why I believe God led us to put this together. And number two, if you would see the focus groups and how these officers responded to this, And it's an opportunity to be conduits of God's grace to some people that feel very isolated right now, right? And they need Christ, right? And they need these tools because what Jim just articulated and what the officers that we've given this to have articulated, yes, this is going to help them on the job, but it's really going to help them when they take off that badge and go home. So,
at that, real quick, at that,
I'll find our next thing. Go ahead.
That does change everything. So when you get a guy that's effective at home, when I was a supervisor, what I realized was the guys who were good at home, they didn't take as many sick days. Hmm. When I needed to do a call out, they weren't the guys who were, you could hear them pop the top. Nope, just had a beer. Yeah, you just had a beer. Not fair. But you know, at that point, alcohol can't call them out. They weren't the guys doing that. They were also not the guys who were signing up for tons of overtime. These were guys who were okay with being at home. These were not the guys whose entire identity was wrapped up in what they wore on their chest. And I got to tell you, I was kind of one of those guys. So when I went through my injury and all that, that was really tough. And these are guys who, with good relational skills and emotional wisdom, or relational wisdom, emotional intelligence, I think we can keep guys in not only healthy at home, but because of that, they're so much more effective on the street, so much more compassion, so much more willingness to use their discretion for grace-filled purposes. And then you have all the right outcomes. So it raises the water level of these guys' lives in such a way. Because, I mean, it might be, well, we pay you for that. And there is a component to that. It's one thing one of my mentors told me is, well, you get a paycheck, the rules change. You know, and the difference between dealing with volunteers and guys who get a paycheck. But if you can raise the water level, then that's a good investment. That's not just, oh, well, they're special, we're going to give them special treatment. No, not at all. This is raising the water level. It's going to help with retention, recruiting, all of those things, and all the costs to society that we have seen from guys who are not emotionally wise in certain things. I mean, the fallout has been huge. And that's not the rank and file, although we're seeing them leave in record numbers, good guys. And we see that in retirements, but guess what? There are guys who are saying, you know what? I'm really not going to turn a tap until it's time for me to be done. So you've got, we call them road troopers. We used to make fun of them. The older guys, we call them retired on active duty road troopers. But now we're seeing that in record numbers at a much sooner spot in career. And it doesn't need to be.
Now, I went ahead and Ken and David helped us put together, and this is a film clip, and again, I didn't know how the officers would respond to Blue Bloods because it's a production, and it's not real life police work, but once again, once Jim saw it and once the various officers in the focus group saw it, they said, this is good. So here's a little background if you've not watched Blue Bloods. The scene is New York City Police Chief Frank Reagan, which is Tom Selleck, and his father, Henry, is the ex-police chief. And in this scene, Frank's father is getting too old to drive. And so Frank is trying to get the keys from his dad. And as you watch this clip, and I want your feedback, we're not going to break into groups. This is small enough, intimate enough. I want you to analyze this and help us point out a couple things, maybe a lot of things they did wrong. Okay, so let's watch this clip.
They were part of my day. They're an old man. Are you buttering me up for some reason? Francis, I'm just happy to see the problem.
Can you get the lights?
So, how was your day?
Great, honey. Yours.
You got something on your mind, spit.
What makes you think I got something on my mind?
You're not the only guy in this room who used to wear a gold sheet, Francis. When I was wearing mine, you were wearing diapers.
I did notice it was a pretty big dent in the bumper of your car.
Here we go.
No, I'm just ask him what happened.
No, you're insane.
I'm not insinuating anything. You think I don't know what I'm doing behind the wheel anymore?
I just asked him what happened to your car.
How would I know? I went into Ziggy's for lunch. I came out. I had a busted bumper.
So somebody hit you when you were inside?
Excellent police work.
And they didn't even know.
Are you finished?
Damn it, Pop, you shouldn't be driving.
What went wrong?
Now, you're what police officers would say, it's about right.
Just a couple observations? Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Couple observations. What did Frank do wrong? What did Henry do wrong here?
Kind of like one of the previous, by asking questions about breakout rooms, you know, it was a telling. He wasn't asking. He started asking, but wouldn't get a response. But nevertheless, he made a judgment. It may have been the right judgment, but he didn't lead that other person, his dad, to make that confession, to have some ownership, to walk through that and to be okay.
Excellent. Didn't ask right questions. What else went wrong?
The tone was escalating.
Yeah.
Between the two of them.
Yeah, the verbal and the nonverbal. Mm-hmm. Good. Yes. A couple other. Frank.
Well, he doesn't know what happened to the car, so he really shouldn't use that as an example. But he's clearly is insinuating that he did something wrong to get the bumper. If he doesn't know, he shouldn't even use it. He should just really talk about the real issue.
Right. Very good. Yes.
I think it went wrong before he walked in the door because it was obvious from the father's response. It's like, sort of like, why are you here? This wasn't his normal routine. So he knew there had to be another motive in him being there. And the guy's not so far gone that he doesn't know that it's going to be about his car. Never knew it was going to be about the car when he walked in. And he just was calling his bluff.
Good. Very good. Man, I'd love to do an RW presentation for you guys. It's very involved. Casey, real quick.
Yeah, he got hijacked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You think? Yeah. Yes, Anne.
Yeah, I was just going to say that he knew what he wanted to do when he went there, and he was looking for something that he could pin on his dad to say, here's the reason why you have to get rid of the case.
Yes.
So, I mean, he went in with an agenda not to talk about the issue or address the issue. He just kind of made me feel guilty. Did this.
Yeah. One more. Go ahead, Claude.
Well, what's interesting about it is at the beginning, they both have an agenda. They both already had something they were bringing into the room. If you saw before and after, first of all,
which we're going to see in a minute, huh? Yes. No. You're nailing it. You're helping me prepare for the next one. Keep going.
Even as he walked in, you could tell the room was already tense.
Yes.
And this was already headed to an explosion.
Yep.
And so rather than either of them taking a moment to step back, they just went there.
Yes.
I have one thing to add too. Like we learned yesterday, the microaggression.
Right.
Yeah. Now we're going to watch in the next scene real quick. I just want to give you a flavor what we're going to do for police officers, okay? And again, this was very, very well received. Now we're going to see Reagan's daughter, Henry's granddaughter, who is an attorney, come in and watch what she does right. And we're going to talk about it real quick, okay?
I have nothing to say.
Wait. Before you say anything, hear me out. Grandpa, ever since you put that ring on Grandma's finger, you have watched over this family with unconditional love and unwavering devotion. You gave each and every one of us the freedom to find our own way in the world and the room for us to make our own mistakes. And you were there to catch us before we fell too hard. We are who we are today because of you. We learned from the best. And you taught us that loving someone sometimes means asking them to do what they think is impossible.
Bob, you're my Mickey Mouse. So the last thing in the world I want to do is say you've lost a step. But I love you, and I want to have you around for a long time. So I'm asking, would you please give me your keys? I can't do that. Because I already gave them to Linda. And Danny, the keys, the pink slip, the whole shebang.
Because the car blew up.
That's exactly right. Well, no, that's not entirely true. The truth is, Francis, there was never a police report filed. Jimmy Conway is in the 86. He whipped that up for me. And I banged the bumper again as I backed out of the garage.
Grandpa, give me a hug.
Time. I know we could probably talk for another half an hour easy just on this. But I'm going to ask you two questions, and one is, what went right there? And my second question, I normally ask these separate, but for time purposes, why would officers, 30-year veterans that we've talked to, said you must keep this in the presentation? So go ahead, floor is yours. What went right, and why would police officers need this?
She took him through the whole 360 of Saab in about four sentences to think about him, think about how others view it, and think about his values. It was pretty.
She was like the Yoda of RW.
Yeah.
You know.
She was. Her relational wisdom to me came through loud and clear, because one of the problems that aging people have is losing credibility. And they don't feel like they bring any value to the table at all. And the way she gave him honor was impressive. I've had the same trouble with my parents. Buried my dad a few years ago, but going through the similar things, and now with my mother, it was a great video for me to see.
Amen. Life's all about relationship, no matter what you do or who you are, right? Yes, Frank.
She also kind of, as a positive principle, she affirmed the relationship. Let him know how that's really what's most important to her. And thankfully, Francis picks up on it.
Yes.
And she didn't take the sacrifice.
Holds her hand. And
yes.
He says what he needed to say a long time ago, but realized that she paved the way.
Yeah.
She reinforced his value, too.
Yes. Casey?
Yeah, she was very conciliatory and very compassionate and empathetic with Grandpa.
I tell you, Dad, you're my Mickey Mantle.
Oh, my God.
Tore me up.
Wow.
I'm going to have Jim talk here, and then we're going to close out here in a couple minutes. But
from an officer's perspective, would it point out the need to have maybe somebody else come in and help solve a situation?
Maybe a mediation.
They don't have all the tools. Our son just resigned after 17 years, and they don't have the tools.
Yes.
In some situations.
Yes. From an officer's perspective, please, Jim. Why would officers, your buddies, 30 years in the force, want to keep this?
Well, I think it encapsulates somewhat like the click video, but this with folks that actually wear the uniform, it really encapsulates what a lot of us experience and have experienced. It could have easily been my dad and I, and even as Claude alluded to, what you saw there in that first clip was a couple of policemen doing good police work on each other.
Yeah, right.
Works well.
Anyway,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So when we see this, you know, even me as second generation, I see this as something I can immediately use with my own dad and should have many times over the years. But it really shows there's another way. So one of the things that we talked about early in the course, you guys know this, is that while hard skills, you know, you can train and you can only do so much, but say a guy's really proficient with his firearm to maybe an 85%. Well, that's adequate, but you've got other guys on the range that they're knocking out a 99%, 100% every time they go shoot. That 85% shooter is probably never gonna be a 99 or 100. He's probably plateaued, but there's no real plateau to this. And so this particular video gave our focus groups hope and got them excited about, wow, we can do this. We just watched two guys who look exactly like us when we go home, and then we saw that it could be different, and yeah, it's kind of Hollywood, but I mean, come on, this could maybe work. Yes.
So this clip is a great example, but also goes to the heart of my question is, now you go in with a brotherhood, but when you go in, I guess you always bring in somebody with that competency, because there's some places where we want to take this into K-12 public schools where their core competency is dealing with people. But of course, we all know that we can need to grow up. We're going to pastors, we're going to therapists, or in this case, police officers, where you're hitting right their core competency is dealing with people and moving people to different places, and you're saying you still have more to learn. Can you talk, and that's a perfect example of it, can you talk about how to soften that up and speak to that when that's one of their core competencies? But
so so as far as, it really goes back to that, we're training you for home. We're helping you, because even the most prideful police officer, unless you see a guy, anybody remember the show The Shield? Mm-hmm. And you had the bald guy, and he was...
Hey, no, I'm kidding. This is not personal.
Yeah. See how aggressive they are? But he was always very aggressive, and he had hard skill, man. This dude was off the scale. Now, you can bring in even these clips, all these different things, the retool of the pictures, all that. You may or may not appeal to that guy. Usually a guy like that, there's two ways of gaining wisdom. One of them is to watch somebody else and learn from their experience. The other is to have to experience it yourself. A guy like the Shield guy, he's going to have to experience it himself over and over. But I think that once the softening of the blow is saying, this is really for you guys to be as healthy as possible. One thing that we talked about early on is we don't want to be we want to help you do your job better. Now, I can tell you from experience that police officers, as a rule, we can be a little bit prideful.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know, there's something to that adrenaline juice and putting on the uniform and all that kind of thing. So if you say, basically, I'm trying to fix you, yeah, that's not going to go well. But that idea of, I want you to be as absolutely healthy as possible. It's just like when the insurance company would come in during in-service once a year and say, hey, we have this smoking cessation program, and if you do this program, we're going to pay you $100. well, who's not going to sign up for that? I've been trying to quit anyway. I know it's good for me to quit. So, yeah, I'm going to sign up for the $100 program through the insurance, you know, that kind of thing. So there's ways, you know, that's a nice thing about the RW360 certified speaker partnering up with a police officer is you can talk that out ahead of time and really tailor it to your crowd.
Yes.
But then beyond that, you get an insight into that officer that's going to be helping you, and maybe you let him do the softening of the blow.
Very good. Well, we got to wrap up here, so I'm going to make a couple statements in wrapping up. We didn't get to all the stuff, but I think we covered what God wanted us to cover here today, right?
Right.
Just a couple things. If you're a certified speaker in the process of becoming a certified speaker, Jim and I are here to help. And if you need help getting that set up wherever you're at, if you're in an area and would like us to come in and talk to your local police or something in your area or your state, we're open to that. Now that he's on the other side of the country, it'll give us a chance to get together every once in a while. But we're here to help and to equip you, because one of the things that's really exciting is in our focus groups, one police chief said it would be really good to go through chaplains, because chaplains understand their local police force. They understand the whole deal there, and God has opened up some amazing doors. We have contacts with like the head chaplain for Indiana State Police. Now the president of the International
Conference of Police Chaplains.
Yeah, so this is going to be a real opportunity for you certified speakers to get in through your local chaplains. And so pray for this. Pray that God uses this. We're here to help if you need that at all. So it's pretty exciting. Yes, any questions here in closing?
Just an observation.
Yes.
Just from my understanding, the picture of the officer, the female officer, who is 45-degree angle, positioned very well, the sunglasses is a negative for the public in terms of relating to them.
Good.
And talked about this. If you, I love the picture, but if you had a different one without the sunglasses, not in sunglasses. Reinforcing that negative.
We're still doing focus groups, so thank you. Very good. Very good. Yes. I'll show you some other pictures here. Well, keep going.
So I have a question. After this, do you point people to doing the online course? And if so, like, this is something just for me, because I haven't done this, but do you have any problem with these secular organizations going to the RW360 Christian ministry website to do this, or have you ever had any pushback from that?
Okay, really good question. We have the values-based, and the values-based is what's just been developed, and most of the certified speakers have been checked off on that. This is what we present, and we do encourage them to go on the online course. In fact, after any officers that we've given this to, we give them a code, and they can go and take the online course either half off or free. And so we're encouraging coaching after this, because this is about three to four hours of putting your mouth over a fire hydrant. But in order to be able to apply that to their context, this is where coaching comes in, where we're sort of seeing maybe somebody like Jim or myself or some of our RW coaches coaching them with this material for their context. Right? So we give the values-based, but as Ken and all the presenters have said, when they go into the values-based course online, they can easily cross over to the faith-based, and we're hoping they do, so that it's evangelistic. But
so and maybe you could answer this. I'm sorry, this is like...
Oh, you're fine.
I really want to do this. But so it's from that perspective, and maybe in Kentucky, maybe they're not going to have a problem to go to a ministry website and say, okay, I'll take the value-based one because I'm an atheist, whatever. In Sacramento, I don't know how much pushback there's going to be. Hey, this guy was great, whatever. And if he sends me to this Christian website, and I got to click on this one, obviously it's a, you know, and I don't know how much we have to go undercover, whatever. Any thoughts, or pointers?
So I think you're really driving at the right answer there in all of that in your question. yes, context is going to matter where you are in the country, what the attitude, prevailing attitudes are. The other thing that I would say is, in looking at the RW website itself and the pointer to the values-based course, it especially is not really very overtly Christianized at all. So that helps with the initial step in the right direction. The other thing is, when you get to the worldview lesson, even in the talk, it really is, you do give other people the opportunity to share their faith. Now, it could blow up on you, depending on what faith they might be sharing. But even that, you know, God is big enough to handle that kind of interaction and dialogue. But it goes to context, as well as the product itself lends itself to that. It doesn't look, you know, we don't have crosses everywhere. And because the cross that we carry is here. That's the main thing. So.
And because we have the values base now, the U.S. military has said, this is fantastic. We can go in with the values based. If they want to go over to the faith based, they can. If that's good enough for the U.S. military, I think it's going to be good enough for most police departments. Claude?
Jim answered.
Okay, good.
The other thing about that real quick on... that gains the having the other officer or going through the chaplain's program gains you passport. Chaplains are expected to have crosses and things like that, so that's going to help as well if you have a chaplain on board with what you're doing. That kind of softens that as well. So even if there was a complaint that came up, I think it would be somewhat defensible with regards to through your chaplain program.
Great. One more, and because I'm already 8 minutes over and I don't want to get in trouble from Ken Sandy, so.
It might be helpful for people to know that the courses that they're being pointed to are posted on Teachable, on the Teachable School, Relational Wisdom Academy. So if they get a coupon for a course, I'm pretty sure, knowing how that's set up, they're going to go straight to their values course. They're not going to enter it through the website.
And then also, just so you know, this RW Blue is not on the website. So when we have officers, we let them know, hey, if you want to go with the online, like a sergeant or a lieutenant with their group, and really take some time going through that, it's going to be the regular Ken Sandy illustration. This one, at this point, is not available online, but they're going to get the same principles. So, good. All right. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer real quick. Father, thank you so very much for this opportunity. Thank you, God, for law enforcement. And thank you, Lord, that you are working a way to reach out to them, Lord, with these skills. And I pray that you would use this. I pray, Lord, even those, as we've introduced it to everyone here, that they would steward what they've learned here well and apply it in their context. We thank you for our W and how you're using it, Lord, in multiple venues. Lord, advance your kingdom and bring yourself glory through Relational Wisdom 360. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.